Blog Talk Radio.
Skyrocketing healthcare and insurance costs. Extremely modest gains against chronic disease. Thousands die yearly due to drug reactions. What can be done? Thomas Edison is quoted as declaring, "The doctor of the future will give no medicine, but interest his patients in diet and nutrition, exercise, in the care of the human frame. He will teach them about the cause of all disease." The doctors of the future are here. Welcome to Phase 3 Wellness with your host, Keith Henry, ND, one of the doctors of the future.
Hi, and welcome to Phase 3 Wellness. Thank you for joining me this evening. I'm your host, Dr. Keith Henry. I'm a naturopathic doctor practicing out of Orlando, Florida. I address natural medicine from a Christian perspective. I'd like to welcome all my friends, wherever you may be listening from around the world, especially my friends over in Costa Rica and here in the United States as well. We have a very insightful show for you today. I'd like to remind you, if you'd like to call in with a question or a comment, you can do so at 917-889-2207. That's 917-889-2207. We also, you can go to blogtalkradio.com/phase3wellness, and we have the chat room up there as well. If you would like to put a question or comment in the chat box, you can do so as well. We are going to, again, welcome all of our new listeners, wherever you may be listening from around the world. I'd like to remind you that you can also visit me at Facebook at facebook.com/naturedoc. You can also visit us at facebook.com/phase3wellness and facebook.com/phase3ministries. Remember, we address all aspects of the human being, the physical, the spiritual, and the mental or slash emotional. This is why you have to deal with this natural alternative medicine, holistic medicine, from a perspective of all three elements. Therefore, we have Phase 3 Ministries, which deals with the whole man, the spiritual side of man, deals with put emphasis on the spiritual side of man, the prayer and the trusting in the Creator. You heard me talk about it tradition before, about the laws of health that we teach, the eight laws of health, being trust in the Creator, sunshine, exercise, water, air, rest, diet, and self-control or temperance. Again, we have a very interesting and insightful show for you today. We're going to follow the same outline that we normally follow. In the first segment here, we deal with the weekend natural news review, where we look at some articles that have come out during the week, where we discuss and analyze them, dealing with natural medicine and alternative means primarily. And we look at these articles. We have quite a few this week to deal with. And then after that segment, we go into the segment that deals with or that addresses a healing food. This week, we will be looking at the healing food pear. Now, when I say a pear, I mean the American pear, what we call the pears here in America. I know some of my listeners who may be from other regions of the world will consider an avocado as a pear, but we're talking about a pear, the fruit of a pear. And so, again, if I'm not talking about an avocado, I'm talking about what we call a pear here in America. And then finally, when we go into our third and final segment, that's a segment that deals with the healing herbal supplement. We're going to continue our discussion that we started last week on olive leaf extract and how very effective it is as a natural antibiotic. We also discuss, if we have the time, mullein oil and how mullein oil can be used for earache pain. Again, you're listening to Phase 3 Wellness. Thank you for listening. I'm your host, Dr. Keith Henry. We're going to take a quick break, and we're going to come back and jump right into our show.
You're listening to Phase 3 Wellness with Dr. Keith Henry. Be sure to listen right here every week at the same time. You can also visit Dr. Henry on Facebook at facebook.com/naturedoc. Thanks for listening, and here's to your health.
How do you feel? No, really. How do you feel? Do you feel lively? Are you bursting with energy? Or do you feel run down and suffer from a lack of energy most of the time? Have frequent colds, aches, and pains of one sort or another? The fact of the matter is that most people in America are not well. But you can begin to change all of that today by simply visiting the Simple Natural Health Secrets blog of Keith Henry, ND, at www.phase3ministries.com/wordpress. Go there now and explore the wealth of amazing wellness information. That's www.phase3ministries.com/WordPress, the Simple Natural Health Secrets blog.
Hi, and welcome back to Phase 3 Wellness. I am your host, Dr. Keith Henry. Thank you for joining me. And we're going to go ahead now and get started with our week in natural news review. This week, our first article is going to come from naturalnews.com. And the article is entitled, Coconut Oil Can Help Reduce Belly Fat, Study Finds. And we've talked about coconut oil on here before, some of the uses, but this is another study that has come out. And this article was produced on, published on the 12th of February, a few days ago. And in this article, the author points out how the coconut oil, which is the edible oil which is produced from the flesh of coconuts, has been shown to possess amazing antiviral, antifungal, as well as antibacterial properties. And that these properties also, or this coconut oil also, has been found to help improve blood cholesterol levels, boost energy, and do many other things that we've talked about here on Phase 3 Wellness before. But in this particular article here, the author refers to a peer-reviewed Brazilian study that found that just 1 ounce of coconut oil a day can actually help treat abdominal obesity or abdominal fat, belly fat. Providing yet more evidence, the author says, that healthy saturated fats are essential for long-term weight loss. And he goes on to point out how in this particular study, which was published in the medical journal Lipids, the researchers assembled 40 female volunteers between the ages of 20 and 40 years of age, and they all suffered from abdominal obesity. Now, this particular study took place over a 12-week period, and the women were given 1 ounce of either soybean oil or coconut oil every day. During this time, the volunteers were instructed to follow their regular diet and walk for 50 minutes per day. So they were going to keep eating the regular diet that they were eating. The only thing they were going to do different is that they were going to add 1 ounce of olive oil daily. And they were also going to be required to walk for 50 minutes each day. At the end of the 12-week or 3-month period, the researchers found that the women who were given the coconut oil experienced a significant reduction in both BMI, or body mass index, as well as their waist circumference, as well as an increase in their good HDL, or their good cholesterol. These results were not found in the group that was given the soybean oil, according to the study in the article. And the researchers concluded, quote, "It appears that dietic supplementation with coconut oil does not cause dyslipidemia and seems to promote a reduction in abdominal obesity." A lot of times over the internet you may see a lot of different ads talking about reduce belly fat fast or do this to reduce belly fat, etc. There's no really magic pill for it. Even though coconut oil is great for it, you notice that they also had to exercise for 50 minutes a day, walk 50 minutes a day. So if you want to deal with belly fat, one of the things that you need to consider is getting on or altering your diet. If you have most of us now know are unhealthy diets. If you're not exercising, including exercise, add also coconut oil. And you have to also deal with your stress because some stress hormones can actually contribute to body fat, cortisol specifically, belly fat rather. Nevertheless, you have here another weapon in the program to significantly reduce belly fat. So you have the exercise to help reduce stress. You have the healthy diet. And this particular article didn't specifically go into talking about the women's diet. Whatever the diet was, they were supposed to stay on it. So imagine the even additional benefits you may get if you go on to some of the type of diets that we've talked about here on Phase 3 Wellness. So not even a diet, but a lifestyle diet, a lifestyle change, which reflects a healthy, preferably plant-based diet. Again, that article was published on the 12th of February, and it was entitled Coconut Oil Can Help Reduce Belly Fat, Study 5, and it was found at naturalnews.com. Our next article is also going to come from naturalnews.com. It was published this week as well on the 13th. Very interesting article, and the name of this article is Science Reveals Sugar is as Addictive as Major Illegal Drugs. And this is something that many people have known for a while. It has been a lot of research done on sugar, on processed sugar, refined sugar, white sugar. And this particular article here deals with the addictive nature of the sugar. And it has been found to be just as addictive as major illegal drugs like heroin. And this particular article, also taken from naturalnews.com, the author starts off by asking you the question, what if you discovered that a food you were consuming had the same effects on your body as a highly illegal drug and could lead to addiction, cravings, binging, chronic degeneration, and even death? And then he goes on to point out how in-depth studies show that consuming sugar has the same effect on the body as taking heroin and cocaine. And he goes on to explain how heroin is a white crystalline substance that's actually derived from morphine. Sugar is a white crystalline substance most often refined from genetically modified sugarcane. He goes on to point out how both are highly addictive, they're brain-altering, and they can quickly alter and bind to opioid and beta endorphin receptors, which produce the infamous euphoric effect, or in other words, it makes you feel nice. An overdose or continued consumption of heroin could be fatal. Likewise, continuous consumption of sugar contributes to the leading causes of American deaths, including heart disease, cancer, type 2 diabetes, and inflammatory disorders. Essentially what he's saying is that, and what we know from this is that heroin will kill you quicker than sugar will, but eventually eating copious amounts of this type of processed sugar, refined sugar over long amounts of time, it kills you, but it kills you slowly. It kills you softly. Instead of killing you with maybe an overdose, it kills you eventually with degenerative diseases like heart disease and cancer and type 2 diabetes and inflammatory and other inflammatory disorders. Because remember, we've talked about here before, the inflammation is the basis of many of the inflammatory disorders that we have, such as cancer or diseases, rather. The article goes on to say further that sugar addiction is a real phenomenon affecting an increasing number of Americans. He says in an interview with CBS News 60 Minutes, Dr. Robert Lewis, a California-based endocrinologist, stated what numerous studies confirm, that sugar, quote, is as addictive as cocaine, end quote. Now, most people would not regard themselves as a drug addict, but the fact of the matter is sugar is actually, according to the studies, just as addictive as cocaine. Now, in this particular article that we're looking at here, again, it was published on the 13th of February, and it was published at naturalnews.com by Dr. Megan Hamer, who also holds a Juris Doctorate, NHE, and an ND. And then she goes on to point out in this particular research, this particular article, she says that what causes the high for a heroin addict is the molecules in heroin that find their fit in the beta endorphin receptors. Sugar produces a similar high by causing the body to reproduce more beta endorphins. This neurotransmitter gets rid of feelings of hopelessness, depression, isolation, and low self-esteem until the effect wears off and the low returns, causing another craving for sugar. The article is going to point out how, additionally, several studies along with the Neuroscience Behavior Review confirmed that consumption of sugar also leads to neurochemical changes of dopamine in the brain that actually mimic those produced by drugs like heroin and cocaine. These dopamine surges actually cause behavior changes like binging, sugar dependence, decreased activity at receptors that lead to satiety, withdrawal symptoms, and over time cause low dopamine, which can actually lead to depression and some other issues. And so continues the cycle of craving sugar, consuming sugar, and using sugar to fill the feel-good void. And the article went on to point out how, although the sugar industry may deny this, the fact of the matter is that it does occur. So again, that particular article, if you're listening, you listen to Faith Through Wellness, and we're in our first segment where we look at the Weekend Natural News Review. And it's interesting that we found that there's so many studies that have been done that show that refined sugar is, in fact, just as addictive as cocaine and heroin. That is amazing. And this is one of the things that people need to understand is that if you have any disease, as the article noted, sugar is one of the things that can cause an inflammatory response in your body. And inflammation, as we've talked about on here many times before, are actually the basis of many, many diseases like cancer and some of the other diseases that people develop. And so once you understand that not only does sugar affect you physically, it also affects your mind. It affects your ability to function and to think clearly. And it's not only that, it's addictive. So sugar, it's a variable poison, refined sugar, that is. You listen to Phase 3 Wellness. I'm your host, Dr. Keith Henry. Now we're going to go into our next article, which is the main article or the main title of this week's show. And we're going to talk about why people in the blue zones live so long, what's called the blue zones. You know, many of you who have listened now, you know that this show used to be called Blue Zone Wellness, and it was based to a degree upon some of the philosophy behind those people who live in the blue zones. Now, this particular article that we're going to be using to base this discussion on was entitled Blue Zones, What We Can Learn from the World's Longest Living People. And it, just to bring you up to speed, if you're not familiar with this already, in 2008, there was an American writer and explorer by the name of Dan Buettner. And he published a book entitled The Blue Zone, Lessons for Living Longer from the People who lived the Longest. This book, which is actually an extension of a report that Dan Buettner wrote for National Geographic back in 2005 about longevity. And it contained information about five regions in the world in which people live for an unusually long time, often over 100 years old, to be over 100 years old. And actually, this was proven by verifiable birth certificates. And these five regions, which Buettner named the Blue Zones, are number one, the Barbagia region of Sardinia, Italy. Number two, the tropical islands of Okinawa in Japan. Number three, Loma Linda, California, home of the Seventh-day Adventist religious group. Number four, the small island of Icaria in Greece. And number five, Costa Rica's isolated Nicoya Peninsula. So here he found that these people, these five groups of people, consistently live the longest, longer than the other people of the world. And so he went to find out why is it, what is it that they do that causes them to live longer. Again, let me give you this group again. The Barbagia region of Sardinia, Italy, the tropical islands of Okinawa in Japan, Loma Linda, California, home of the Seventh-day Adventist religious group, the small island of Icaria in Greece, and Costa Rica's isolated Nicoya Peninsula. The article goes on to point out how understanding that only 20% of how long a person lives is determined by genetics, Buettner and his research team began to monitor the diets and lifestyle of the people in what he called the blue zone and these blue zone centurions, those people who had lived to be at least 100 years old. And in the hope of trying to discover the secrets of their longevity. And his book is in essence an exploration of the recurring trends, the article says, he found while interviewing and living among them. And so here you find, he wanted to find out what is it that causes these people to have such good health and to live so long. And just to give an overview, he says, these are some of the things that he found. He says, the most significant lifestyle factor shared by the centurions of the Blue Zones, Button reported, was the frequency and gentleness of their exercise. Now, if you're a listener here, you'll know that when I talk about the laws of health, one of the laws of health to help prevent any disease and also help to reverse any disease, remember, all of those laws must be necessarily applied in a scientific fashion. One of those laws is exercise. Again, trust in the Creator, sunshine, exercise, water, air, rest, diet, and self-control or temperance. So here we have, according to them, according to the people in the blue zones, one of the main things that they found to be effective for them, to help them for their health, for living longer, 100 years or more, was gentle but consistent exercise. And he points out how it was the frequency and the gentleness of the exercise. He said that these people often tended to their own gardens and their own farm. They routinely exercised for more than 5 hours per day. However, their exercise was always based on natural movements such as moderate walking, gentle lifting, and tilling the soil. Comparatively, extreme exercise such as weightlifting and marathon running was non-existent in these areas. So gentle and consistent exercise is what he found. Number two, he goes on to say all of the, he goes on to say that all of the centurions embraced a simple diet that was high in fruits and vegetables, and some of them actually had a plant-based diet, which we advocate here. But they all, even those who didn't have a plant-based diet, totally plant-based diet, they all had consumed high amounts of fruits and vegetables, especially legumes or beans, low in fat, meat and refined sugar. So they didn't eat lots of meat, they didn't eat lots of fat, and they didn't eat lots of refined sugar. They actually favored goat's milk to cow's milk. They drank alcohol moderately. Those who did drink, one or two glasses of wine per day with food was common, which I don't advocate. And even those who actually happened to do it and still live, you have to ask the question, based upon what we know about alcohol, how much longer would they have lived, or would they live, or how much better health, even though they had good health and they lived a long time, how much more, how much longer even with that had they lived if they didn't take even alcohol? And just to say, some of you may have heard, well, you know, alcohol does the stomach good, or does the belly good, or is good for the gastrointestinal tract. It's not so much the alcohol as it is the grapes. Unfermented grape juice can get the exact same benefits. So that's just an aside. The also found the people in the blue zones only ate rich foods. When they ate rich food, they would eat like meat and cheese around 5 times per month if they ate it at all. So some of them did not eat meat or cheese at all, and the ones who did, they would only consume it 5 times per month, which is interesting. Many of the plants they consumed were grown themselves, and very few of them ate fruits or vegetables that were out of season. And he goes on to point out how, and he gives a more specific list of the foods favored by the centurions of each blue zone. The ones in Sardinia, Italy, they ate bread, vegetables, small amounts of wine and goat's cheese, and very little meat. In Okinawa, they ate sweet potatoes, fermented soy products, rice, and vegetables. So here you see they were basically vegans, plant-based diet. They followed the plant-based diet. I've actually been in Okinawa. I lived over there for a time, and there are you see lots of people who are elderly who are in really good shape, good health. Loma Linda, that's the Seventh-day Adventist, fresh fruit, oatmeal, salads, and vegetarian or vegan foods that they ate. So again, they followed the plant-based diet, the Seventh-day Adventist in Loma Linda. The Curia people from Greece, vegetables, some wine, herbal teas, and small amounts of meat. And finally, the Nicoyans over in the peninsula area, the Nicoya Peninsula in Costa Rica, corn tortillas, beans, fruit, some animal products, mostly chicken and eggs. So significantly, and the article is going to point out how significantly a large number of the centurions also follow the 80% rule. That is, they consciously decided to stop eating when their stomachs were about 80% full, which prevented them from overeating. So they were not gluttonous. They actually realized that the 80% rule takes a lot of burden off of your stomach, as well off of your pancreas and off of your gastrointestinal tract as a whole. It's a great benefit. The article goes on to point out further, of the 268 centurions interviewed, 260 of them belonged to a faith community. So they had faith in a creator, or some of them, and just those who didn't believe in God, a Christian God, they had some type of faith, belonged to some type of faith-based community, and they regularly conversed with other believers. So they had interaction that the creator has given us. We have to understand that just being interactive, we are social beings, and just being interactive and having positive interactions are actually helpful for our minds and therefore our bodies. The article goes on to point out further, most of them enjoy the company of a mutually supportive network of friends as well as family members, and none of them live alone in nursing homes. And all of these factors actually contribute towards an enormous sense of belonging, which appeared to boost their psychological health. That's what I was about to say. That's what I said earlier in the show, that you have to deal holistic medicine, holistic health, mind-body medicine, whatever you want to call it. It deals with the physical, the mental, the spiritual, the emotional. And one of the things that was very important in these people living a long time was a very beneficial social interactions, belonging to a community, having purpose, having people you know that love and care about you. These are the things that are like emotional milligrams, 1,500 milligrams of emotional healing, 1,000 milligrams of emotional healing. These things are very necessary for health of mind and body. Finally, the article points out that all of the blue zones are sunny, and all of the centurions that were interviewed exposed themselves to sunshine regularly due to their outdoor lifestyles. Consequently, the article says they receive large amounts of natural vitamin D, which, as studies have shown, is linked to improved mood and sleep, improved bone and eye health, and much more, as the article points out. The researcher Butner also, as well as other researchers, have noted warm climates seem to promote a more relaxed work-to-live attitude, life rather. And finally, quoting Butner, he says, quote, to make it to age 100, you have to have won the genetic lottery, but most of us have the capacity to make it well into our early 90s and largely without chronic disease. As the centurions demonstrate, the average person's life expectancy could increase by 10 to 12 years by adopting a blue zones lifestyle. So again, if you want good health, you want a good quality of life for yourself and your loved ones, there's a way to do it. You have to be purposeful about it. There's a blueprint to do it here. And if you notice very carefully to what they follow, it's in total harmony for the most part with what we advocate here on Phase 3 Wellness. And that is getting plenty of sunshine, getting plenty of rest, drinking plenty of water, trusting in the Creator, being temperate, trusting the Creator, having a faith-based mindset with others of like faith, and having great social interaction as well. All these things are very, very important for health, to help prevent disease and also to reverse disease once you have contracted it. These things must be done. They must be done consistently. They must be done in such a manner with purposeful health, leaning not upon your own understanding, but following these things. It's a model. Sometimes you hear people talk about a business model. Certain business models work, other business models don't work. This is a health model, and it gets great benefits, great dividends it pays if you follow it consistently. It's like putting money into an account or an investment, and that investment, when it's time to get the dividends, your dividend here, following the laws of health, is good health. And you live like no one else, so that you can actually live like no one else from a health perspective. Again, you are listening to Phase 3 Wellness. I am your host, Dr. Keith Henry. I can remind you, we're up on the chat now, or you can call in if you have a question or comment at 917-889-2207. I'm going to take a quick break. We're going to come back, and we're going to go over into our next segment, which is the healing food segment. That's the healing food segment. We're going to be talking about pears, and we're going to give you some reasons to eat pears, and we're going to be talking about how they play in with your colon health, with your heart, with your brain, with your weight, with your immune system, with inflammation, and also with your energy. So again, you're listening to Phase 3 Wellness. I'm your host, Dr. Keith Henry. We'll be back in just a moment.
Do you know anyone that has health issues? Of course you do. Have you noticed the rise in popularity of natural therapies and alternative medicine? Sure you have. Have you ever wondered if alternative therapies work or if it's just all quackery? Then you need to visit the Simple Natural Health Secrets blog at phase3ministries.com/WordPress. Keith Henry, ND, is trained in natural naturopathy and provides amazing insight at the Simple Natural Health Secrets blog that he has gained from years of hands-on experience. Check it out after this show at phase3ministries.com/WordPress.
You're listening to Phase 3 Wellness with Dr. Keith Henry. Be sure to listen right here every week at the same time. You can also visit Dr. Henry on Facebook at facebook.com/naturedoc. Thanks for listening, and here's to your health.
How do you feel? No, really. How do you feel? Do you feel lively? Are you bursting with energy? Or do you feel run down and suffer from a lack of energy most of the time? Have frequent colds, aches and pains of one sort or another? The fact of the matter is that most people in America are not well. But you can begin to change all of that today by simply visiting the Simple Natural Health Secrets blog of Keith Henry, ND, at www.phase3ministries.com/WordPress. Go there now and explore the wealth of amazing wellness information. That's www.phase3ministries.com/WordPress. The Simple Natural Health Secrets Blog.
Hi, and welcome back to Phase 3 Wellness. Thank you for listening. I'm your host, Dr. Keith Henry. It's broadcasting here from Orlando, Florida area. It's 7:30 in the evening, Eastern Time, if you happen to be listening live. If you're listening to the archive version, then again, I'd just like to remind you that you can go up and you can listen to any other archives at this site. Again, it's at Blog Talk Radio, BlogTalkRadio.com. And you can also listen at Phase3Wellness.com to some of the, you have like maybe the last five there, but if you want all of the past shows, you can go to BlogTalkRadio.com/Phase3Wellness, PHASE, the number 3 Wellness, and you can listen to any other broadcast that you might be interested in from the title, or a broadcast that you might have begin listening in the middle, or something that you might think is interesting, or you can even download them a CD and give them to your friends or whoever, your family members, because sometimes I talk about things in here that is very, very, oftentimes very, very valuable in terms of someone, a loved one, and their health. And you're getting this information for free, so I highly recommend that you take advantage of it. Listen, download it, take notes, do whatever you need to do, because some information that I mentioned here, you would have to pay me if you were coming to see me. And so some of it I'm giving for free. Of course, nothing on this show should be taken as medical advice to prevent, cure, diagnose, or treat any disease. And again, sometimes a particular abnormality is fact-specific. Your case may be different from anyone else's case. So sometimes I give general information for that particular reason. I would not necessarily know unless I sat down and did an assessment with you, and we basically determine a specific protocol. Such assessment takes anywhere from normally 45 minutes to an hour and a half, 2 hours many times. And so this is why sometimes just can't take anything. But there's something that I give on here that are general that can be very, very, very beneficial. But if you need more than that, you might want to contact us, especially if you're in the Orlando area. Even if you're not in the Orlando area, some of these consults can take place over Skype and et cetera. Now, we're going over into our next segment, which is a very popular healing food segment. And this particular day, today, we're going to be talking about pear in the healing food segment. Again, as I said earlier, when I talk about pear, I'm not talking about, as some of my friends who may be from the Caribbean or some of the other areas may see a pear, when they may think of as I mentioned earlier, they may think of a, oh, it skips me now. Anyway, I mentioned it earlier. And this is an American pear, a fruit. And this particular fruit, we call it a pear here in America, and it's a very, very beneficial food. It's a tasty food as well. Now, I will warn you of this. For some people, it can actually work as a very powerful laxative. So many times, especially if you eat it with the peel on it, you know, say you pick it off of the tree and you eat it, it has a green peel typically, maybe red, greenish, yellowish when it's getting ripe. But when you eat it, then for some people, it will really, really, really work as a very powerful laxative. Not a bad thing, but it really helps you. And so we're talking about here about pears. Oh, avocado is what I was trying to think of earlier. Okay, yes. So when I say pear, I know some of my friends in the Caribbean and some other areas may think of of the avocado as a pear, but I'm talking about, again, the fruit. Now, let's talk about some of the benefits of this pear. You very seldom hear about pears, and but they are very, very, very beneficial. Some of the Just talk about some of the amazing health benefits of a pear. They actually can help decrease your chance of heart disease. They help decrease your chance of a stroke. They actually help increase your immune system, and they have many more benefits. Now, let's break it down. Let's first talk about heart disease. There was a 2007 study published in the American Journal of Clinical Nutrition that found that women who ate a diet high in fruits loaded with flavonoids, such as pears, as well as apples, had a lower risk of coronary heart disease. The researchers in this study found that these fruits, pears included, could decrease the risk of cardiovascular disease, mortality, and this was especially the case in postmenopausal women. So again, because of the flavonoids that occur in pears as well as apples, they can actually help reduce the probability of you developing heart disease. Now again, as I've said before, you just can't go and do other things and, you know, smoke and drink and carry things and not live a healthy life and just eat pears and apples and expect that to have the optimal effect. Remember, as I said before, it's a systematic lifestyle change, the laws of health, trusting in the Creator, sunshine, exercise, water, air, rest, diet, and self-control and or temperance. Next is the stroke. Now, there was a 2011 study published in Stroke, the Journal of the American Heart Association, that demonstrated that eating white flesh fruits, like pears, can actually dramatically decrease an individual's risk of stroke. In this particular study that occurred in 2011 and was published in the Journal of the American Heart Association, they had participants that ate more than 171 grams of white flesh fruit, and they had a 52% decrease incident of stroke compared to participants that ate less than 75 grams. So the scientists hypothesized that this was due to the rich amount of fiber in these fruits along with their high flavonoid content. Like I said earlier, if you eat a pear, the outside is greenish, yellowish, and as it gets ripe, it will have more yellow to it. And if you eat it inside, you bite into it, it will be white. And it will, like I said before, for some people, it will have a very, very beneficial effect of cleaning out your colon. It works almost like a natural laxative. But it's a very tasty food, very, very delicious. So again, it also, according to this study that was published in Stroke, the Journal of the American Heart Association, found that it can actually reduce, and other fruits like it, white flesh fruits like it, like apples as well, can actually reduce the likelihood that you would develop a stroke or have a stroke by 52%. Next, let's talk about how it may benefit you in weight reduction. Pears have a very small size, but it has a lot of fiber. For instance, you can get almost 20% of your daily allotment of fiber by eating just one medium-sized pear. And this is one of the things why I know that it helps. As I said earlier, for some of us, it actually really, really works well as a laxative. And the reason being is because of the high amount of fiber contained in it. Fiber has been found to not only be associated with the low risk of stroke and heart disease, but also found to be a vital tool in your weight management. So think about it. If you're eating something like pears and it's going through, because of the fiber content, it's brushing out the filth that can sometimes accumulate in people's colon. And this is why you see a lot of times you have what the so-called the pot belly, is what sometimes you hear it called. That is a result of a lot of trash and filth that is accumulated within the gastrointestinal tract, normally in the colon. And so when you get those pears and those other fruit that are high and fiber going through there, and not only fruit but also vegetables, especially fruit, you get that fiber going through there and just brushing out all that trash, you can lose a considerable amount of weight when you combine that with exercise and drinking plenty of water and getting lots of rest and dealing with stress issues. You can get a very, very, very great amount of benefit from that. Also, it has, as I mentioned earlier, there's a benefit on your immune system, because pears are loaded with antioxidants in the form of flavonoids. And I said earlier that these flavonoids are one of the things that help decrease the risk of heart disease. These high antioxidant content, rather the high antioxidant content of pears can actually help boost your immune system. So again, eating pears or drinking pear juice can actually help if you feel a cold or something else coming on, especially in the early stages. Now, if you get it to a situation where you already have it, you may want to go into fasting. That's, again, depending on whether or not you are a diabetic. So that's why I said before, some things are fact-specific on here. But if you're in general good health, eating pears or going through a fast may be one of the best things you can do when you feel a cold coming on. Finally, as kind of ties in with your colon health overall, because of the large fiber content, pears can be very, very helpful in maintaining your colon health because they have a high or have a good amount of pectin. And therefore, as I said earlier, this pectin can also act as a mild laxative during times of constipation together with the fiber. So you buy, the creator has put the pectin in there, he's put the flavonoids in there, he's put the fiber in there, and it didn't have any negative side effects. So that's great. Again, pears also are good to help you with your energy. And they can actually be eaten because of the benefits of the nitrogen, et cetera. The sugar in pears can help your body stabilize your blood sugar and actually provide energy to you. So again, eating pears can beneficial to help you get energy, can help your heart, prevent heart attacks, can help prevent strokes, can help with weight reduction, can help with your immune system, it can help with your colon health, constipation issues, and finally can also help with reduction of constipation, or inflammation rather. Pears have been found to be a natural way to reduce inflammation because of their high content of the flavonoid quercetin, which has been found to significantly reduce inflammation, which we've talked about that flavonoid on this show before. And again, because of this inflammation in the bodies of individuals, which is again the background or the foundation of many, many diseases, you can actually help reduce that inflammation by consuming pears. Again, so you have a lot of benefits. So you can get them. When I was a boy, I can remember there being pear trees, and growing up in Georgia, in the area, and we just get them and pick them and eat them. Now you can find them in areas. You can still in some areas find them. If you don't live in an area where you can get them, a lot of grocery stores carry pears now. But they are very beneficial, and they are very, very beneficial. If you're constipated, I highly recommend you eat pears. And you add them to your list of fruits that you consume. Not only are they good for you, but they taste good as well. Again, you are listening to Phase 3 Wellness. I'm your host, Dr. Keith Henry. We're going to go into our final segment now, and this is the segment where we deal with a healing herb, a supplement. And we're going to pick up, and as I mentioned earlier in the show, and continue where we left off with olive leaf. I'm going to go ahead and start again with olive leaf and back up a little bit. And if we have time, we'll pick up on mullein as well and talk about how mullein is very beneficial to help with earaches, which a lot of children tend to have, and a lot of mothers deal with that. I'll give you right off the bat to help with the ear infections for children, infants. One of the best things to prevent that and to stop it from occurring is to stop giving the children dairy. And probably 90 to 95% of cases of ear infection of children when they're small can be eradicated just by the parents. Stop giving the children dairy. If they love milk or cheese, give them almond milk or soy cheese or some alternative, but don't give them regular dairy. You will see a great, great change typically if your child is having these ear infections, several ear infections. Now, back to olive leaf. We started a little bit on it last week, but I had to stop. So I'm going to back up a little bit and look at, again, olive leaf. Now, as I mentioned before, olive leaf is a small evergreen tree native to the Mediterranean regions. And throughout history, the use of its fruit and oil has been well documented. Hippocrates, for instance, the Greek physician known as the father of medicine, prescribed olive oil for ulcers, for choleria and muscular pains more than 2,500 years ago. And just that you might know, if he were living in our day, Hippocrates would be considered a naturopath or a natural doctor or herbalist, whatever you want to call him. He would be a holistic practitioner. And it's interesting that he would be the father of natural medicine. And I'm sorry, the father of Western medicine. And yet Western medicine has made as a staple drug medication, as opposed to drug medication being the alternative and natural medicine being the mainstream. But then that's another story. Now, a little bit more history. In the early 1900s, a bitter compound was taken from the leaf, or discovered in the leaf, and was isolated and determined to be the part of the olive leaf, the olive tree's powerful disease-fighting properties. Now, that has its place, but generally speaking, you will find that when you leave a herb like this in its fullness, if you don't get into extracting things out, that may have its place in some cases. But you will find, it's been my experience and the experience of a lot of other practitioners, that when you leave the herb in its whole form, not extracting things out of it, it tends to perform far better. And one of the reasons why is because there may be constituents within that herb that we have not discovered yet in science. Not only that, the creator is the greatest scientist. And so the way he created it, again, is packed in a synergistic fashion to work in harmony with all of the vitamins and minerals and whatever else that may be in there to help with the human body function and health. So even though in some cases extracts may be okay, generally speaking, you're going to find that taking the herb in its whole sense, in its whole form, is going to give you better results. And normally taking more than one herb, normally taking an herbal formula in general, is going to give you better results as well. But at any rate, they extracted, this was in the early 1900s, a bitter compound from the leaf, and it was called olorepine, and it was isolated and determined to be part of olive tree's powerful disease-fighting abilities. And then in 1962, researchers found that this compound could actually lower blood pressure and increase blood flow in your coronary arteries, relieve arrhythmias, and prevent intestinal muscle spasms. And then in the late 1960s, the researchers showed that another compound in olive leaf, eleonic acid, could kill many kinds of viruses as well as bacteria and parasitic protozoans. And so that's pretty much where we are. And we'll pick it up from there. Now, one of the things I mentioned before when we went into this is that there's a lot of research, clinical-based research, backing this. And the research and clinical experience actually suggests that olive leaf extract is beneficial in treating conditions that are actually caused by virus, retroviruses, bacteria, or protozoa, as I mentioned last week. And as I said also last week, the olive leaf appears to be a true antiviral compound. I believe it is a true antiviral compound, for it has the ability to actually interfere with critical amino acid production for viruses. It can actually contain viral infection by actually inactivating viruses through preventing virus budding or assembly, and it also has the ability to penetrate infected cells and stop viral replication right in the center, right in the midst of where it's happening within the cells. That's pretty amazing. As I mentioned last week, olive leaf extract is also effective against antibiotic-resistant bacteria, yeast strains, and fungi that actually produces other problems. Now, chronic fatigue syndrome and fibromyalgia, how does it use against these two? Physicians have reported that people with chronic fatigue syndrome and fibromyalgia are often helped by olive leaf extract. And I mentioned before that whenever you those two issues, chronic fatigue syndrome and fibromyalgia, there's probably an underlying cause, or an issue rather, with adrenal gland fatigue or exhaustion. So at any rate, that's just a side note. Physicians have actually reported that people with chronic fatigue and fibromyalgia are often helped by olive leaf extract. even people who suffered with these syndromes have actually reported recovery actually within a 1 month of even taking the supplements. And they have reported that they felt better, or they have more energy, and they have a stronger sense of well-being. So apparently it's affecting their mind, the physical, the spiritual, and the emotional. Also, let's look at the benefits now of it for heart disease. There's been some research and some information with regard to how beneficial olive leaf extract is for heart disease, as well as blood pressure. There was a study done, or an experiment rather, in 1994 that found that olaparib, rather, which was the extracted element, actually inhibited the oxidation of low-density lipoproteins, or LDL, also known as your bad cholesterol, which actually has been connected to various heart problems. And other findings have verified that olive leaf extract can also significantly decrease your blood pressure. So there have been findings and research that says that, one, it can help with fatigue syndrome and fibromyalgia. Two, chronic fatigue syndrome and fibromyalgia. Two, can help with high heart disease and high blood pressure by lowering the amount of LDL, which could negatively affect the heart. Next, we'll move and look at how it's beneficial in herpes virus infection. And there was a 1993 study using a relatively weak alcohol-based form of olive extract, and they reported that this treatment provided relief of the symptoms of the herpes virus. And there was a small study, and there was only 6 subjects involved. 3 reported that their lesions had disappeared in 36 to 48 hours after taking it. The remaining 3 were placed on a stronger dose and reported better results than they had experienced with the medication they had previously used. So again, if you're a person that's suffering from the herpes virus, olive leaf extract may very well help benefit the symptoms that you may be experiencing or suffering from with this. Finally, yeast infection or candida. That's also been used for those who may be suffering from yeast infection or candida, and that's very frequent. First of all, if you can stay away from antibiotics, drug-based antibiotics, do so, because in most people, they fail to kill off all of the bacteria, and this bacteria will tend to become antibiotic resistant, and then people will take more antibiotics and more antibiotics, and antibiotics have been tied directly, in direct connection, having a direct connection with yeast infection. Now, just so you know, candida are single cell fungi that actually live in your bloodstream, and they release poisons and toxins as they multiply, and by the time you reach adulthood, virtually all of us will have, will play host rather to Candida albicans or yeast. Now, if your immune system becomes suppressed, a yeast overgrowth may result and end up in you having a deep-seated infection. The symptoms of this can include fatigue, headaches, muscle aches, constipation, diarrhea, gas, itching, vaginal discharge, PMS, insomnia, eczema, psoriasis, allergies, sinus problems, recurrent colds and flu, indigestion, respiratory problems, et cetera, weight loss problems. Now, there was a 60-day double-blind placebo-controlled study that included just 30 people, and they found that such symptoms were reduced by more than 50% in all of them who took the olive leaf extract with no apparent side effects. So everybody, you have a study where everybody in the study, a double-blind, placebo-controlled study of 30 people, and every person in the study found that their symptoms were reduced by more than 50% in every person. That is miraculous. That's amazing. So again, olive leaf extract, very powerful, effective natural remedy, and I highly consider that you consider taking into account and using it. And one of the things you have to point out too is sometimes you have what we call a healing crisis in natural medicine. And in some diseases or abnormalities there, you may be suffering from a chronic issue. There may be quick and sometimes adverse reaction coming under the detox reaction or a healing crisis. And so what happens as the body begins to deal with dead microbes, the liver, the kidneys, intestines, and skin may become overburdened, and common reactions to this will include fatigue, diarrhea, headaches, muscle and or joint aches, flu-like symptoms, rashes, and pimples. However, all of these symptoms are actually a good sign for your body is beginning to detox, and as it stirs up these old poisons, what's happening is these poisons are coming to the surface and the body's reacting, and so you think at first you're feeling a lot worse when in reality you're being healed and your body's healing itself. And in natural medicine, we call this a detox reaction or a healing crisis. So to limit this, if you begin to take this and you begin to see some of these adverse reactions, to limit any adverse reaction, be sure to drink at least 4 cups of water in between the dosages of taking olive leaf extract. If symptoms persist, reduce the dosage or stop taking it altogether for a short period of time so that your body can actually eliminate the toxins and the dead microbes. Basically detox yourself. It's also very important to drink copious amounts of water when you're doing it, because the water can help flush out the kidneys and flush out, get rid of some of the poisons quicker, and could help reduce any of the symptoms. This doesn't necessarily occur in everyone, but it does occur in some people. And but olive leaf extract is actually one of your more beneficial herbs. It is considered a natural antibiotic together with some of the other natural antibiotics that we've talked about, like garlic and echinacea and some of the other ones, golden seal, etc. I see we're about out of time here. We have about 4 minutes left. I see we have a call coming in.
Hello?
Hello?
Hi. My name is Celine. Yes, you're talking about health, right?
Right.
You know, health problems and everything. But you know what one can do if they have a leaky valve, a leaky heart valve?
They have a leaky heart valve?
Right.
Is that your question?
Could something be, like, could the condition be reversed instead of, being on medication just to control the problem?
It would depend on the general health of the person. Generally speaking, it may or may not. It depends on the general health, the age of the person. Generally speaking, there's no such thing as an incurable disease, but there's some cases that diseases have allowed to go so far, or sometimes there's what we call a mechanical underlying problem. But it's hard to answer that question since it's such a specific question. But you could go. I'd like to invite you to go to my website there, and read around. You may find something, and if you don't, you can send me an email, and I'll actually do a little research and maybe write an article and put it up on there that would answer your question specifically for a leaky heart valve.
Oh, okay.
Okay. So I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Actually, I don't have an email right now. I'm trying to establish one because I'm in a hospital right now.
Oh, you are?
Would you be able to? Mm-hmm, yeah, I've been in here for some days now.
You're in there? You have a leaky heart valve?
Yeah. I've been having problems, with the heart and the lungs, fluid retention, and, shortness of breath and everything.
Okay. Yep. How old are you?
I'm 43. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Do you have access to, say, Facebook?
Facebook? Right. Well, actually, yeah, I have access. I can have my daughter to go to that for me.
Okay. I would like to just go to, and I'd like to try to, maybe I might be able to help you out with this, but if you go to, have a go to facebook.com/ mm-hmm. nature doc.
You said Nature Doc?
Yeah, NatureDoc, Nature Doc.
Oh, okay. Okay, just Nature Doc. Are the two words together?
Yeah, it's facebook.com/ one word, Nature Doc.
Oh, okay.
And just put on there, send me a message, said that you called the show and you want some more information about the leaky heart valve.
Oh, okay. All right. And by the way, what's your name?
I'm sorry?
And I was asking you, what was your name?
Oh, my name is Dr. Keith Henry.
Oh, okay, Dr. Keith Henry. And I'm Celine, by the way. All right,
okay.
Dr. Henry. So I'll certainly be in touch with you.
Okay. All right, then. Thanks. Have a good evening.
You do the same.
All right, bye-bye.
Bless you. Okay, bye-bye.
Again, we are out of time now. You've been listening to Phase 3 Wellness. I'm your host, Dr. Keith Henry. Thank you for joining me once again. Hope you will join me again next week at our same time, 7 to 8 p.m. It's a new time we're still testing. It's called Prime Time. Again, if you came in the middle of the show, you get an opportunity to hear it. The replay will be available in probably about 10 minutes, and you can go in the archive and you can listen to the entire show. Take notes. You can download it to a CD if you like. Send it to people. Send it to friends, family, loved ones. Very, very important information. Again, thank you for listening and have a blessed week.